We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game. Come on!
Good morning. Happy Friday. 5 a.m. Friday morning. Again, it's Friday.
Woo!
You should be excited for the weekend.
Even though I feel like I haven't been here much this week. I've only been here 3 out of the 5 days.
You've only been here 3 out of 5 days? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'll put that on my timesheet.
Note to self.
Yeah, I'll take that into account. We got the Bay Bridge series coming up this weekend, so we'll preview that a little bit at around 5:15. We got the 49ers and the Chiefs as well going into week 3 of the preseason. But, Anna, we got to talk about what happened last night, and that's with a week 3 preseason game that seemed to be, as far as preseason games go, it was the most pointless preseason game of all time.
Seriously.
With week 3, when you're going to actually play your starters, hey, NFL, you're going to force these guys to play in the preseason. In week 3, it's a trend that they play their starters and get them acclimated to each other, play them in the first half, but then you have the game in Canada. In the field goal post, the holes that they created in the end zone, couldn't get them fixed. Then they made the yard or the field 80 yards, and that was that. They played a preseason week 3 game. No one played except for the backups and guys who might make the practice squad. John Gruden said after the game that he's going to have some tough decisions to make going forward because these undrafted guys are making names for themselves. But in the end, Anna, an 80-yard field in Canada, what was that?
It was pretty bad, eh? I mean, that was just terrible.
Yeah.
Going up to Winnipeg, you know, here's the thing that you're trying to showcase the NFL, and you're thinking, all right, you got Derek Carr versus Aaron Rodgers. It's a fun game. Two great quarterbacks, you know, two good quarterbacks out there. And then you have issues with the field. You have nobody showing up. You have fans who apparently had paid, you know, $200 a ticket to watch this.
Unbelievable.
That's just sad.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. I saw one of the best seats with $450 after taxes and fees. Imagine paying that much money to go see this product, and the product that you got last night was that. I mean, this is not a good look for the NFL. I think it was a very poor decision to do this.
Right.
We saw what happened during the regular season last year with Mexico City, where they had to actually relocate the game from Mexico City to L.A. again. It was the Rams and the Chiefs. Great game in the end.
Right.
But
one of the best games of the season.
Seriously. The problem is field issues have become a problem. And you have to also take care of your product that's on the field because you have to take care of these players because you see what happens with Cam Newton last night. Now, mind you, that was something that he did. But still, the fact that he got hurt in the preseason, you have the Panthers who are, you know, on the up and up. They're excited to come back here. A lot of, like, positive things going their way with Cam coming back from his shoulder injury and everything and his surgery. And it was supposed to be going well. And then all of a sudden he gets an ankle injury right before the season's getting ready to open up. And, you know, it's just a bad start for a team.
X-rays showed that it wasn't that serious for Cam Newton, but it is a sprain, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. But I don't know how they expect to play these games internationally, somewhere outside of the United States, and they want to branch out. That's what the NFL wants to do. That's why they're having all these games in England.
Those ones tend to work out, though. When they go out there, those games work out. People show up. I think they've been going there long enough that it's put together a good product. But, you know, it just depends what happens with the teams that are out there afterwards.
Oh, the fields there are so pristine, though.
Yeah.
I visited Stamford Bridge, Chelsea's stadium, mm-hmm. and they didn't even let you on the pitch just because it's just so – the grass is just too precious to even let anyone stand on it. And obviously, I mean, they do stadium tours and everything, so obviously they're not going to let just random fans just walk onto the pitch like that. But they actually keep them pristine. With this one, though, in Canada, I didn't understand why they were playing a preseason game there in the first place.
Me neither.
And I don't get how the NFL didn't get on this sooner. Like, why was this an issue last second? You're finding out the game is delayed a little bit. John Gruden didn't know. And now there was just an issue with the field goal post. Like, that's just, there's a whole plan that they have going into these games in preseason week three for their starters. Now, Aaron Rodgers may not have played just because he actually hurt his back last week. And so that he was going to be a game time decision. We didn't know whether Aaron Rodgers was going to play. But also, with those prices that you were talking about, you have me wondering, I mean, are people in Canada that desperate that they're going to pay $450 to watch a preseason football game?
I mean, they've been watching these CFL, so maybe they're like, well, let's hope maybe the preseason product of the NFL is better than what we have with the CFL.
Yeah.
You know, you had Johnny Manziel making a play last year. I think he ended up, what happened at the end of the year? Last year he ended up not playing.
I don't even remember what happened to Johnny Manziel. He went in there, and didn't he go to the AAF? I think the American Football Alliance, or the American Alliance of Football. I think he went there. I don't remember what happened to him.
That's gone now, but now you have the XFL.
Yeah.
Now making its comeback now.
We'll talk about those names a little bit later on coming up in the show, too, because the team names have come out. But, yeah, I think that and we saw last night Eric Harris was formerly of the CFL, and he went in there for a hit that could be, I think it's fine worthy. If Adrian Colbert ended up getting a fine for that hit earlier in the season, or in the week one of the preseason, rather, I think that Eric Harris is bound to get one, because the flag that he got on that helmet to helmet, it was kind of a dirty play, and that's what they saw in Canada. So that's what he brought over to the NFL. But going forward, though, John Gruden talked about this, and he said, "And I didn't really care.
Thank the people of Winnipeg. We had a great experience. The field, I don't know what that was all about. We thought the field was perfectly fine, but I'll answer any questions I can. That's not going to change the evaluation, other than we didn't get some kickoffs and some opportunities and special teams, but I'm not going to make a big deal about the field. We liked the field. We thought the field was perfectly ready to roll. You'll have to ask Green Bay about that, but didn't impact our play calling or our evaluations. We just adapted, as they did, to the new dimensions of the field."
Now, John Gruden said earlier in the week that he didn't know whether he was going to start any of his players. He didn't know whether he was going to start Derek Carr. He didn't know. Antonio Brown obviously was a big question mark. He actually showed up there, which is a positive sign for any Raider fan. At least he's showing up to these things when you don't have to. You don't have to go to Canada if you're not going to play. But, I mean, is John Gruden blaming the Packers for all of that situation?
I mean, the idea that that the Packers, I don't know if he's blaming the Packers, but, you know, you're not getting the type of competition that you need for your starters to play. You're not going starters against starters, you know, early on, which is kind of the tradition that you do when it comes to, you know, when it comes to that third preseason game. It's usually, you know, your first stringers playing their first stringers early on, and then you go on and figure it out. So now you all of a sudden kind of change your game plan. And how does this affect your evaluations? You're seeing, you know, you had Nathan Peterman replacing Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon wasn't having his best game, obviously. But how much do you take that into consideration to what was going on versus, like, say, a joint practice? What do you get a better evaluation of?
Right. I guess it would be as far as just maybe reading defenses. I got to go out to a joint practice to really know what goes on during those things and how they run them. But they're running the offense and defense is just separately in general, and in just playing as a team as if it's a real game. It just has a different feel to it.
Yeah.
But that 80-yard field, the one sort of positive I saw out of that, or something different, and it made me realize this for punters, is I think it's a mental thing when it comes to trying to pin it within the 10-yard line, because They had no problem doing that, getting it into the end zone yesterday. Yeah. They had no problem pinning it in the end zone, which was actually within the 10-yard line. So I think right now it's all a mental game for the punters. And the ones for the Raiders and the Packers, they just got to remember that 80-yard field and punt like they did there because, I mean, they undercompensated, if that's even a thing. They really tried punting it as lightly as they could, and they were doing it perfectly. So I think for the punters, it might have been advantageous. I mean, Nathan Peterman's going out there and becoming a preseason hero again. John Gruden said that, I mean, they could have three quarterbacks by the time the season rolls around.
Look at that.
Do we really? do they need three quarterbacks, really? I think they're going to have to put him in the practice squad or something because, I don't know, just the fact that a roster spot would be taken up by Nathan Peterman when all these other position players seem to be trying to prove themselves. When Nathan Peterman, sorry, man, but you went into the NFL, you had your shot. We've seen what you could do. I just don't trust that again. And so it, being a preseason hero, it fools everyone. I think that's my main quarrel with preseason in general.
I completely agree with you because you see somebody who all of a sudden excels in preseason, but you're not playing
right. The
same type of guys. You're basically going, so I was talking to you about this earlier, you're going, when it comes to preseason, you know, when a regular season game, you're normally going from 0 to 60, and it's really hard to stop yourself from going 0 to 60 when you're out there and you're trying to like hold it back a little bit when you're playing a preseason game. So that's where I think a lot of the injuries can come from as well, because you're trying to hold back from going, you know, playing 100%.
Right.
But you're still trying to be effective at the same time because you're trying to not get hurt, but you're trying to be effective.
Yeah.
So it's a hard middle ground. And that's where I think the issue with preseason is as well, because that's where you can get into the injuries. But you're right. Like, a lot of these guys all of a sudden look like they're doing well, but once you're playing full on 100% NFL football regular season games, it's a different ball game out there.
Yeah.
So it's never going to be the same. And I don't know, Nathan Peterman, all of a sudden, if you're going to look at Hard Knocks, I mean, it looks like Gruden's always saying something, going off on Mike Glennon. He's kind of playing hard on him, and it seems to be positive with Nathan Peterman. Which one's, you know?
Right.
Who's going to excel? Even though I think still in a way, Mike Glennon, I still think should be the one to edge him out of the job. But I don't know.
Mike Glennon has proven that he can be a backup and he can be a serviceable one, better than anything the Raiders have had in the past few years. Mm-hmm. If you're going to roll out Connor Cook like that, that's not a good sign. So Mike Glennon at least is a veteran and he understands the game. I don't trust a young guy who's just gonna be a backup quarterback. Like, I just don't trust that anymore. If he's if he's like a starter at one team and then he goes on to being a backup, then that's one thing. But if you're like Mike Glennon, you've been a backup for a while now and you've tried being the starter in Arizona as well as the Bears, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So you were the backup there. But Nathan Peterman started out as a starter and didn't even prove himself as a backup either. Ooh. So I think that's where the issue lies. And plus, tonight, I've just realized this, throughout the week, we haven't had any Antonio Brown helmet news. Well, tonight or today, Friday was the day that they used. They didn't say whether it was Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Friday night. But the arbitrator for the second helmet grievance is going to meet with them today and make their decision today. So we'll get a little bit more helmet news going forward. But do you see Gruden at the end of that game, by the way, with the game-winning field goal?
What did he say?
He just was going nuts.
He gets very excited over preseason games.
Yeah, it's just a preseason game, John. Yeah. But who are we to say, like, don't get excited for when your team wins? Because he's basically always says a win's a win, and right now they're what, 3-0 in preseason?
Yeah.
So I think that he's just stoked to get some wins on the board. Gruden did not have a good time last year. He just did not. And so any win that he's getting, it doesn't even matter if it's preseason, he's going to take it like a regular season win.
Right. We're seeing a lot of positive news out of the Raiders. You know, a lot of people are saying that this team is actually looking pretty good. They're looking like a cohesive unit. So there's a lot of positivity when it comes into looking into the season for the Raiders.
Yeah, and going in Hard Knocks, you're not seeing any dysfunction. You're not seeing anything really go wrong. It doesn't look like it, except for Antonio Brown thing. But they're even making the Antonio Brown situation look like it's nothing.
Yeah.
They're making it look like it's a completely separate thing and not within the team. But that also could just be playing up for the cameras. We don't know. But we'll find out a little later on what goes on in the coming weeks. I'm wondering, though, what he's going to be like when he wears that helmet. Hopefully he can look out of one of the 32 approved ones or 37 approved ones that you're allowed to choose in the NFL. So we'll see what happens going forward with that. Check out his vision. Exactly. So going next segment, want to talk a little bit about the A's, Yankees, Giants, Cubs, and we got the Bay Bridge series coming up. And I got a question for you on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Are you more intrigued with the first two games of this Bay Bridge series, just seeing where the teams were at that point compared to now? Because ever since they last played, it might not have been that much of a difference. It might not have been that long, but there's just been a shift with both teams and where they stand right now. So Chilton Auto Body text line, 957-95-888-957-9570. Were you more intrigued to watch the first two games of the Bay Bridge series rather than the next two coming up this weekend? Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadaki, he's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadakis in with you on the pregame show as the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet, and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Were you more intrigued with these first two games of the Bay Bridge series and compared to now? Because coming up this Saturday and Sunday, although there is the allure, Anna, of the Bay Bridge series, mm-hmm. which is always there.
Yes.
There is that sense of you want to see two teams compete when they're kind of, even though they're in different leagues, when you watch these interleague teams play, you want to see that where they are within the wild card standings, especially going up to now, because within the West, you're just going to assume that the Dodgers and the Astros are both going to win their respective divisions. But with the Giants and the A's, with the first couple of games, the Giants were actually close to being in it, and they were about 3.5 back going into that series, and it was only two games. And then now going into this next series, I think that there's just not as much intrigue if you're just a baseball fan. And there's guys like here on the Chilton Auto Body text line from the 408. No, still want the A's to beat down the Giants. You just don't care because the Giants suck. And, you know, the Giants have not been very good the past week or so.
No.
Because in July, they were the best team in baseball. And now it just seems like there's just not as much intrigue going into this weekend. But, of course, they're opening Mount Davis. And so it's going to be absolutely packed there. And they got the players' weekend jerseys and everything. But as far as playoff implications go, I mean, there's not much intrigue here than this upcoming series compared to the last two games.
Well, I do think it does depend on which fan base you're talking to. Because, again, if you're an A's fan and you're all of a sudden now you're one of the teams in the wild card race, you and the Rays right now.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the Indians faltering now with getting swept by the Mets. So because of that, now the A's are intrigued because these games mean so much more because now you're fighting for that top wild card spot.
Right.
And you're still in the chase, we'll say, for the division, even though it's still a very tall task at this point. But I still will not put it past the A's, but I'm still thinking wild card spot is more likely, obviously. But that's the case where it's there's more of a bigger implication for the A's to win, obviously.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
You have that rivalry between both teams. But to me, it just feels like the Bay Bridge series is so much later than normal. Usually it's a lot earlier in the season. Usually it's like June and July.
Yeah, it would be around my birthday. I always go to the A's-Giants games on my birthday because it would be on that weekend, the weekend of. And my birthday's on the 23rd of June, and there would always be a Giants and A's games around that time, whether it was the week before or the weekend after. I'd always go to those series every time.
Yeah, and I think it's more fun almost when it's a little bit earlier because you get the excitement. Look, obviously, if the Giants were in a better spot, like they were earlier in July,
yeah,
it might have been more exciting because there was so much more on the line for both teams. And, you know, like I said, the last time when it was in San Francisco, just what was it, last week?
Right.
There was a little bit of a different storyline for the teams, obviously. So, yeah, there was a little bit more excitement around it. But I think there is more excitement, obviously, for A's fans right now. And they have so much more they're really trying for, especially after an amazing homestand so far by sweeping the Yankees. Yay! I love taking down the Bronx Bombers. Sorry, I'm just very excited. Jeez. It's just exciting to take down the Yankees, honestly. Anytime you could take them down a peg, because that team is monstrous.
Right. I mean, they got, what, DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, D.D. Gregorius, Gio Urshela, Gary Sanchez, Brett Gardner. Surprised Brett Gardner didn't get ejected for banging the roof of the dugout like he's mad at his upstairs neighbors. Gleyber Torres.
Two home runs.
Masahiro Tanaka pitching last night. Yeah. It's three-game sweep for the A's over the Yankees. And got to give Tanner Roark credit. Thought there was that really was just a it was sort of actually going up to the trade deadline. It was like the biggest move as far as the trade deadline went.
Seriously.
Because nothing happened up until 1 p.m. except Tanner Roark to the A's finding out in an Arby's. His last name on the Players Weekend jersey should be Roast Beef, but that's just me.
That would be good.
That would be
Roark
good.
Beef. How about that?
Roark Beef.
Roark Beef.
But, I mean, the past four starts that he's had for this team, 2.63 ERA, 3-1 record, 24 innings pitched, 23 strikeouts, 5 walks. The dude's been on fire. And the A's, quite frankly, are just they're a different team at home. It's just it. Sure. There's an energy for them that's there, and they seem to just – I mean, it hasn't really been – their offense, that's the issue. Like, they've been putting up crooked numbers for a majority of the season, and it's their pitching that's really been the issue, but their starting pitching's been on fire as of late. So right now, going into this Giants series, actually, I'm going to check who is pitching these series. But, yeah, going forward, I mean...
Was it Madison, Bumgarner, and Chris Bassitt, I believe? And then, oh my gosh, I'm blank. Oh, and then Logan Webb and Brett Anderson, I think.
Really?
I think that's what it looks like it was. But all yeah, because right. I know definitely Logan Webb is pitching, obviously, because he actually grew up an A's fan.
Did he?
So going up against, you know, the team that he grew up watching and everything. So that's going to be an exciting thing for him, obviously, to see Madison Bumgarner. We see what he did last time with the A's, you know, being able to shut them down. So the A's are going to be trying to see if they can actually go, you know, kind of take him down. But we'll see what happens with who the A's are going to be throwing out here as well. Brett Anderson pitches well at home. So
we got Bumgarner versus Bassitt.
Yeah.
And then Chris Bassett's been on fire. He's just a sinker baller that throws hard, but Madison Bumgarner's been on fire as well. He's been as good as anyone really in the major leagues too. But Logan Webb and Brett Anderson are going, and Brett Anderson, you never know what that guy's going to give you. But speaking of Logan Webb as an A's fan becoming a Giant, yesterday, I kind of did a little research project because John Shea of the SF Chronicle did an interview with CeCe Sabathia. Now, he grew up an A's fan, but thought he was going to go to the Giants, and the Giants ended up passing on him in the draft. So I looked back from the 1998 draft on to look at who the Giants missed out on because there was one pick. It was one pick off. They picked let me look it up. Hang on. They picked up third baseman Anthony Torsado. I don't know who that is.
You don't even remember.
Don't even remember who that is. That's in 1998. They took him with the 19th pick, and CeCe Sabathia was the 20th pick.
Huh.
So I got a list, Anna, of players that they missed out on, and just tell me whether they really actually missed out on these players or they made the right draft moves.
Okay.
Because this is actually kind of interesting after I did this little research project. But so in 2000, the Giants drafted John Bonser with the 21st pick.
Okay.
With the 29th pick, they missed out on Adam Wainwright.
Ooh.
So there's one.
Okay.
With the 21st pick in 2001, they took Brad Hennessy.
Good name, right?
You know who they missed out on?
Who?
A guy probably not worth it, but Bobby Crosby. That was the guy
rookie
taken
of
later.
The year?
Yeah, for one year, and then
year,
goes to the Pirates,
year.
Flames out, then that's it. Didn't miss out on that, but I just felt like putting that name in there because of the Bay Bridge ties. In 2002, they took Matt Cain with the 25th pick. That's not a miss.
No, not at all.
Regardless of who was after him. In 2003, they picked David Arzmo with the 22nd pick. They could have picked Carlos Quentin with the 25th, and Carlos Quentin, you remember him from the White Sox, could have been a power guy that they would have used in the middle of those years when it really wasn't there was nothing going on with the Giants in the mid 2000s after Barry Bonds was out of the league. And then they took in 2006. This is the interesting one, because in 2004, 2005, they didn't have any first round picks. But in 2006, they took Tim Lincecum with the 10th pick.
Okay.
Here's what I want to know. Did they miss out on the 11th pick, one Max Scherzer?
Ooh.
Now, Max Scherzer took, like, Tim Lincecum, when he got into the league, he came in and he was just one, he immediately one of the best pitchers in there, right? And helped them win a World Series and all that sort of stuff. But Max Scherzer, the longevity now, it took him a while because he started out with the Tigers and then really became super dominant when he went to the Nationals. So, I mean, would you rather pick Tim Lincecum or Max Scherzer in that pick? It's hard to say.
That's
now.
That's a tough one because of what Tim Lincecum meant to this club and what he's done with this club. So I can't fault them for that one.
Yeah.
I won't fault them for that one.
So that's in 2006. And then in 2007, they took Madison Bumgarner with the 7th pick.
Good one.
2008, they took Buster Posey with the 5th pick. In 2009, they took Zach Wheeler with the 6th overall pick. You know who they missed out on with the 25th pick?
I know exactly who that was. Yep.
Yeah. Mike Trout.
Mikey Trout, huh?
Yeah, with the 25th pick.
So good old Mikey.
They missed out on him.
Yeah, that's kind of a big miss there for a lot of teams.
So
24 teams before him.
Oof.
Ooh, yikes.
And then from 2010, they picked Gary Brown, a center fielder, with the 24th pick. But with the compensational pick, they could have picked Nick Castellanos, who just destroyed them in this previous series with the Cubs as the leadoff hitter. In 2011, they took Joe Panik. So after that, there really wasn't anyone they missed out on. So right. Joe Panik, we consider that a hit if we're going with battleship type vernacular here. But from 2012 to 2015, this is what I find interesting. Because from 2012 to 2015, this is when those draft picks would have made a difference after their World Series run. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, just imagine what this team could have maybe looked like if they actually would have made the right choices, even though their farm system was kind of depleted. But in 2012, they took Chris Stratton with the 20th pick, who started off okay, but really didn't pan out at all. They could have took Marcus Stroman with the 22nd pick.
Yep.
So they were two picks off on Marcus Stroman. In 2013, they took Christian Arroyo with the 25th pick. And in 2013, Aaron Judge was taken 32nd. So they had seven picks in between then. Other teams could have taken Aaron Judge, too, but the Giants had a chance. And then in 2014, they took Tyler Beede with the 14th pick. And you know who was taken 25th, the best player from 14 down to 32? You know who that was?
No, who?
Matt Chapman. They could have taken Matt Chapman instead.
Oh, yeah. How did I not realize that?
Instead of Tyler Beede. And then in 2015, they took Phil Bickford with the 18th pick, who they ended up trading for Will Smith, as well as Andrew Susak, and then Chris Shaw with the 31st pick. But they could have had Walker Buehler or Mike Soroka, either one.
Walker Buehler.
I mean, coming in with the Dodgers, already one of the better pitchers on that team when he got in there. Mike Soroka, he pretty much looks like the ace of the Braves right now. And they took Phil Bickford and Chris Shaw instead, who's just a great AAA player, Hall of Fame AAA player.
Yeah, looks like needs some revamping in the scouting department over there.
Well, in 2017, they took Elio Ramos, 2018, Joey Bart, and now Hunter Bishop. So I'm just looking from 2012 to 2015, Anna, and I'm just saying, like, if they could have at least, there weren't really many players in the draft besides these guys after their picks and the ones they could have actually gotten. But if they had a perfect draft scouting department from 2012 to 2015, they would have had Marcus Stroman, Aaron Judge, Matt Chapman, Walker Buehler, or Mike Soroka, then going beyond. Probably not Elio Ramos and Joey Bart, because maybe they wouldn't have had that early of a pick. They wouldn't have had the second overall, but yeah, going forward, that's just who they missed out on from those draft times.
I mean, look, in all honesty, baseball, I think, is one of the hardest to draft. It's one of the most difficult sports to draft because so 100%. Many things can change between the minors to the majors, and just to see, you know,
these are just guys in first round, too,
right? But yeah, exactly. But that, I mean, looking at say Mike Trout, you know, picked number 25. This guy is a legend in the making right here, and you know he's being compared to Mickey Mantle and everything. So
the best I've ever seen,
exactly. So the fact that he was picked number 25, I mean, it's not like the NBA where you know that the top player is going number one, number two.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually what happens. but it's completely different in baseball. So it is a lot harder to hit on draft picks, but
right.
You know, but you do need to really work on that scouting department. And that's where I think the analytics have made such a huge impact in seeing what, you know, how a lot of these teams are forming their rosters.
Yeah. And you know, is it that much of a stretch to just say for me that he's the best I've ever seen? Because,
no.
You know, I've seen I'm not that young. Like, I've seen quite a few players, mm-hmm. quite a few of the greats ever. But just with the tools that he has, the speed and the power. The power is the one thing that's standing out to me right now and solidified that. Like, I'm always thinking, oh, yeah, he's the best player watching right now and the best player I've seen in the past 10 years. Not the best player that I've ever seen of all time, though. But looking at this season, dude's on track to almost hit 60 home runs this year. And
it's
so
ridiculous.
So just looking at that and the power that he has, I think I'm putting him down right now as the best that I've ever seen. But that's just
It's a
me.
Shame he's on the Angels, in all honesty.
Yeah.
It's really a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, you know what, imagine looking at their draft picks from 2009 oof, on. They probably missed on quite a few.
Yikes.
So going forward, though, we are going to talk some football. We got the Bay Bridge Series this weekend. If you're out there, I'll be out at the Coliseum on Saturday. So, I mean, if you happen to spot me, I'm most likely going to be I'm either in the Treehouse Bar or the Shibe Park Tavern. It's where I hang out normally.
Hey, they're gonna be honoring the 89 World Series team there. So it's gonna be a fun day, especially Sunday at the ballpark. It's gonna be a fun day. You're gonna see a lot of greats out there.
I was at the Oracle Park one too in the first couple of games, and I was just standing next to the trash can in left field. If you're a Giants fan, you know where that is at Oracle Park. Perfect spot next to the trash can where you can just stand and watch. It's right next to the bleachers. Love it. Love it. You gonna be out there?
I'm trying to make it out on Sunday. Trying to make it Sunday.
All right, cool, cool. Going forward, 49ers, Chiefs, what do we want to see? Plus, we got a game. It's called Fandom or Dumb Fan.
Dun, dun, dun.
We throw out scenarios in which fans may do something that you might think is stupid, but on the other hand, you're saying, nah, that's just a case of them being an actual fan. So Fandom or Dumb Fan. Which one are you choosing? We'll discuss all of that next. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakanaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakanaki's.
Stephen Langford, Anna Kayamaki's in with you on the pregame show. It's a pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. All right, so we got the Bay Bridge Series on Saturday and Sunday. Madison Bumgarner v. Chris Bassitt. That should be a good matchup. We got the 49ers and the Chiefs going into week 3 of the preseason. So we'll talk about that. Coming up, we're going to have a game called Fan Dumb or Dumb Fan, and we need your help on the Chilton Auto Body text line. We're going to throw out a few scenarios here of certain fan, shall we say, what, interactions, fan actions in
fan
general.
Actions. Fan actions. I like actions.
Fan actions in general, and you can help us on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Chalk it up to them really being either a dumb fan or actually just showing a real case of fan dumb. Where they're, you know, just fanatics and they really just showing their support. So we'll get into that a little later. We got the XFL teams. We got a lot to pack in here in the next 19 minutes. But yesterday, Anna, you were out and I threw out this question to myself and to the Chilton Auto Body text line at 957.
Sorry, this is great. Yeah. To myself.
Into 957-95. But I threw out this question. And it was who in the A's lineup, because I feel like with the Yankees, right, when Yankees fans are watching from New York and they're staying up, what it would probably be at like 9 o'clock, 9:30 up their time, and they're watching their Yankees play and they haven't watched what much West Coast baseball. I was asking the question, who in the A's lineup to opposing fans would they be most surprised by? Like, in terms of just their power, because for me, the one would be Marcus Semien. You right. think about just the shortstop position in general. Right now, they're making that shift to kind of guys who are not elite defenders anymore. They're very good defenders because they're still shortstops and they have to be, but they're not elite to the point where it can just take over for their offense. They don't even have to hit that well. They could just hit for average and just be slap hitters, hit singles all over the place and be speedy guys who might steal a base or two. And now it's changed in that shift where they're kind of bigger and they have more power than shortstops used to have back in the day.
Right.
So when Marcus Semien comes up and he's a leadoff hitter, I think that really Marcus Semien, to a lot of opposing fans who really don't watch much West Coast baseball, I think he surprises a lot of people.
I think it's a great choice. I still think, even though we know how much power he has and what a great bat he has for the A's, I think Matt Olson tends to go under the radar when it comes to the national scope of things.
Because do you think he still is?
I think he is, honestly, because everybody pays attention to Matt Chapman, and which is well-deserved. But I feel like Olson doesn't get the praise that he deserves. And I know that, you know, especially, you know, he's a lefty in a really righty-heavy lineup right now. He's somebody who can really put the bat on the ball. He has great, also, defense. So he's somebody who could potentially be a silver slugger. I just think that he is somebody that people kind of like, oh, yeah, Matt Olson.
Right.
I forgot that he's that good.
Well, with the silver slugger, though, you got to hit for average, too, correct?
I'd
see him, to be honest, as weird as this sounds, I'd see him getting a gold glove before he gets a silver slugger, because what that dude does as a righty at first base, too, defensively, I don't know if... I wonder if people are still surprised, if other fans are still surprised at the power that he has.
I'm telling you, West Coast, do you see it? You see it out here, especially in the Bay Area, but I feel like when it comes to the national level, I don't think he gets the praise that he deserves.
Interesting.
Let us know what you think on Chilled Not a Body text line 95795.
A lot of people yesterday were throwing out Ramon Laureano, but
I love that.
I think, though, with him, as far as just a national spotlight, home runs, they go under the radar when they're on the highlight reels on MLB Network and ESPN. But when you make plays consistently in center field like that, and you make ones that make the top 10, you know, people, they tend to notice you.
When you're on the highlight reel, you're right. That's the one that people are like, oh, yeah, I remember
this
guy.
I feel like he's
there.
I feel like he's known among people nationally.
Well, here's the other thing. Also, you're bringing up Laureano, and you're thinking of all the, you know, the injuries that this team has not had a completed team in a while, and they've still been able to stay hot. They've been able to stay in, you know, obviously with the wild card right now. They're tied with the Rays for the wild card.
Right.
Imagine once this team is fully healthy, and if you get Chris Davis, you know, he luckily hit the home run the other day, but if you get him kind of batting again the way he's supposed to, somehow figure this whole slump out, then it can be good for the A's in the long run.
Did Matt Olson win a gold glove last year? We just got a
text. Oh, that's right. He did.
Oh, man. He did.
You know what?
That's such a bad mistake on my part.
Look at that. We forgot it here.
But yeah.
Because we think of Matt Chapman, everything that he does, you always think of Matt Chapman first, which you've got to put the Mats together in a way because they're both such good players.
I never remember gold glove winners, like, ever.
Yeah.
So many damn gold glove winners, I never remember them anymore. Wow. Yeah. Can't believe I forgot about that. From the 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line, we're getting this a lot. Mark Canna.
Mark Canna's been a surprise. He's
an interesting one. He's one that he doesn't hit consistently. Like he'll hit home runs every now and then, and he might get on a tear, but he's so on and off sometimes. Mm-hmm. It feels like sometimes he'll just hit everything over the fence, and then sometimes he'll just hit a pop out to foul territory in first base. So I mean, it's just there's inconsistency there. But yeah, I mean, he's one I think people are surprised, especially by his power. I mean, he hit one, 470 feet last year at Oracle Park against the Giants, if I remember correctly. I was there. That was crazy. But, yeah, he's won. I think you could chalk it up pretty much. Their entire lineup might be surprising as far as their power goes. And then Stephen Piscotty, he's actually known, really, if you're like a Cardinals fan in the National League, he's known, but he's also known not to be like that power guy, I guess.
Yeah, I also do want to give a shout out. Also, they had ALS Awareness Night last night. Obviously, his mom, Gretchen, had passed away from ALS. So they did a nice little fundraiser last night. He was signing autographs. Yeah. It all went to the ALS awareness, you know, the foundations and everything to help fight the disease. So big shout out for them, what they did last night with Oakland.
So going forward, we will see what happens in this series. And if, Madison Bumgarner versus Chris Bassett, it's just about as good a matchup as you're going to get right now. But dumb fan or fan dumb, Anna, wanted to play this game. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 wanted to get your opinion on this text line because we wanted to play this game for a while. We're only going to spend a few minutes because we only have a few here. We only have like three or four. And the first one, Anna, you just told me about this fan going into a stadium in Chilton Autobody text line. Do you chalk this one up as a case of fandom or dumb being a dumb fan?
This might be an easy one to actually pick out. So Dustin Wilkes was arrested at SunTrust Park in Georgia last Wednesday after allegedly trying to bring cocaine into the stadium inside a cowboy-style booth for a baseball game between the Braves and the Mets. Now, Wilkes set off the metal detector while attempting to enter the park. A subsequent search reportedly led stadium security staff to discover a clear plastic baggie with a white powder substance suspected to be cocaine. He twice tried to conceal the substance during the search, and the police arrested the 39-year-old. He's been charged with a single count of felony cocaine possession.
I think it's pretty clear on that one.
Yeah,
that might be one of the dumber fans that I've ever heard of. But does anyone make a case for fandom with that one?
I don't know. Maybe somebody who's saying, you know, he just wants to go and enjoy the game.
Maybe he heard that the crowd, they were underwhelming, and he just wanted to get the crowd going for the team.
That's I guess a way to do it. Maybe in his own head.
Just tried sneaking it into a game with a cowboy boot?
In a cowboy style boot.
Oh my God.
I mean, just, and it went off in the metal detector.
That's
I found shocking enough.
I think that's a unanimous dumb fan.
Yes.
And for the 707 Cocaine Cowboy, I just wanted to mention that, and I figured this would be a good time for a case of fandom or dumb fan, even though that's unanimously a dumb fan. Now, with this one, I like these type of situations because I think they're funny overall. Guy getting a Cleveland Browns Super Bowl champions tattoo. Consider that a case of being a dumb fan or a fan dumb?
That is completely dumb fan.
You think so?
That is something permanent. You're putting something permanent on your body, and there is a good chance your team ain't winning the Super Bowl. I don't care how good your team is. You cannot make that type of bet.
I'm all in on the fandom. I'm all in on the fandom with this guy because, really, if you're expecting your team, I mean, when they're expected to go maybe 9-7, that's where their over-under's at. I'm chalking it up to fandom because this guy wants the most for his Cleveland Browns team. It may be dumb, but I'm going first with fandom because this guy is choosing heart over brains. And that's what I'm about when it comes to being a fan.
Yeah, this guy should probably use his brains before. He might have been hanging out with Cocaine Cowboy when he went to get this tattoo done.
Because
this, I mean, the fact that he wrote Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
And then also the year, so what was it? This is 54, Super Bowl 54 here. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, you didn't win. What if you win Super Bowl 55? Oh, you're just off a year?
Look, I think that he could change whatever Roman numeral that he has on his leg. I think it's on his leg right now. I mean, that's a case of it being fandom for me. I'm all about that. Go ahead, get a tattoo with your team, if you think they're winning the Super Bowl this year, I like that. You got hope for your team, and you're out there for the Browns. You are out here for Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, and Jarvis Landry. You're out here. Imagine if you would have gotten, I don't know, like a Cleveland Browns, AFC North champs. Come on.
How about this from the 408? Dumb fan, win a playoff game first. Try and get to 500 first. Yeah, might be a good idea. How about you win a playoff game? How about you get there first?
He's excited.
A little too excited.
He's excited, and I'm all with you, Browns fan, who got the Super Bowl champ tattoo. It's normally a lot of people consider that a dumb fan, but I'm considering it fandom.
Okay, here's someone with you from the 408. The tat will be forever a story worth it.
Worth it. There's another guy. Now we're going on to moving on to the next fan because honestly, I think a lot of people probably look at that as a dumb fan. But I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum.
I can tell.
But there is a guy who got the Steeler, or was it Juju Smith-Schuster's? Was it his jersey number tattooed on his head? He had a hang on one sec. I got to remember if it's just the Steelers logo. But you may think that's dumb just in general, maybe getting a tattoo just right on top of your head, not even your forehead, but like the actual side of your head.
It was his signature.
It was his signature. But the thing is, though, he got his Juju Smith-Schuster said that he would get him any tickets that he wants if he were to get his signature on the Steelers logo. So do you consider this a case of it being fandom or dumb fan?
Well, I think it is dumb to tattoo your head right there because that just seems so painful. That is actually, I'm going to give him fandom on this one.
You're going to give him fandom.
I'm
it's
gonna
a case
give it
of fandom.
Because what he got out of it, he didn't make a wild, wild, you know, take or something saying it's going to, they're going to win it all. It's an autograph. It's a logo. He'll forever say Juju Schuster is great. He'll remember him. And plus, his hair can grow back and cover that up.
Isn't that kind of dumb, though?
No.
I mean, what if you want to cover that up, really? Like,
you can wear a hat.
If you never want to cover that thing up, though.
Then you shave your head and you show it off. But if you don't want to, you have the option. If you're like, you know what, I kind of regret doing this, then I can cover it up. Here's a problem with Browns fan. You can't cover that up unless you wear clothes. You can't wear shorts on a hot day.
Okay, what if Juju Smith-Schuster pulls off an Antonio Brown? Skips out on week 17.
Then you grow your hair out. Then it's okay. It's not bad. At least.
Still a case of fandom for you? Uh-oh.
It's still okay. It's still okay. You can grow the hair out. It's an autograph. You didn't say, I love Juju. Okay? You didn't say that. You didn't say anything about, you know, he's the MVP of the league.
All right.
You didn't make some, you know, wild case for him. It's an autograph. You recognize the hard work he had.
Anna, if you got a 49ers tattoo, just a logo, because you are a 49er fan, you grew up a 49er fan. If you got the 49ers logo, whose signature would you want tattooed on the logo there?
On the logo, it would have to be... Ooh.
From this team.
From this team?
I just threw that out there, yes.
From this team? I'm torn between George Kittle and Joe Staley. I think I'm going Joe Staley.
Joe Staley?
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to get a tattoo with a Joe Staley signature?
It'd have to be a Joe Staley tattoo.
Nice.
Just because of what he's done, and I love his singing. He's fun. He's a good dude. You can't help but you can't say anything bad about Joe Staley.
All right, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. That was just a short version of fandom or dumb fan. We can stretch that out if you want. Let us know your opinion on the segment in general. That's really kind of just our first iteration of it, mm-hmm. as you could say. But tonight we do have a game, 49ers versus Chiefs, and I think we're going to be seeing Jimmy Garoppolo out there for the first half. And actually, here's Kyle Shanahan talking about the starters.
No, I mean, I would like them to get a whole half in, you know, but sometimes halves can be 20 plays, sometimes they can be 45. So it's more about the play count, but you'd like them to get a normal half in. And if they do, depending on how you start with the ball, how many series you get, if you feel good about it, we'd like to not put them back out in the third quarter. But if you don't feel good, you don't feel like they got the reps, that's always an option.
So do you think that, I mean, is there any case that can happen in this week 3 preseason game that could kind of build on top of Jimmy Garoppolo's bad outing going 1-for-6? I mean, it's kind of a tough question, but what needs to happen to the point where, because I think we got Joe Lowe and Dibs were playing all in or all out on Jimmy Garoppolo, and a lot of 49er fans called in and a majority said they're all in on Jimmy Garoppolo,
right,
no matter what the week 2 preseason game is. But what needs to happen in this week three preseason game to the point where guys will be like, I don't know if I'm all in anymore on this guy. What needs to happen?
Well, what needs to happen in order
for
you to
tonight?
Be all in.
Did I say tonight? My bad.
Tomorrow. But what needs to happen for you to be all in is he needs to connect with one of his wide receivers.
Okay.
What if you're all out is if you have another poor showing like last week.
I mean,
you have exactly the same type of showing where you have a 0 QB rating.
Well, yeah.
And you have, I mean, if you have another one of those, it's not looking good.
I mean, is there like a limit to this? If he throws like a tutty, a deep ball to Marquise Goodwin, if Marquise Goodwin plays and maybe throws 3 interceptions or something like that. I mean, is that a point?
The interception's the issue for me.
Yeah.
Look, because here's the thing. If you're making the passes and maybe your wide receiver's not making the catch and it's like right in their hand, or if they fall, I'm not going to blame him too much on that. It's things like the interceptions, making the poor decisions, just kind of not being aware of the defense around you. That's the thing. That's what I'm going to be looking for. And especially right now with a depleted offensive line, seeing who's going to be playing, that's going to be the big question mark as well. Because, right, you know, you're going to go into this regular season. You got to stay healthy, and you've got to make sure that you have a team around you that's going to be able to protect you. So let's see what he can do. Can he make the right decisions at the end of the day?
Yeah, you know, in the end, it's going to be that offensive line for me, as boring as that is. Paying attention to that offensive line, like in a preseason game, it's really like, come on, what are you doing, Steven? You've got to pay attention to these skill guys. But, I mean, that was a big reason for his just the fall off in this
poor
last
outing.
Week, too. Yeah, that was the reason for it, is he was pressured and didn't have a second of time to even react to anything. And it was just a mixture of everything. And I'm not like, there's some stuff I can pin on Jimmy Garoppolo, but you could pin a lot of stuff on the offensive line and the play calling for him. So going forward, if he makes mistakes that are just, I mean, if he has a clean pocket, drops back and, you know, five step drop, just overthrows everything or misses everything or seems scared, even though he has a clean pocket, that's where I might be a little worried. And then, but I mean, and then again, he could throw two touchdowns out of that. And I mean, it's just, and still you'd look at it and you'd be like, all right, well, he seems fine. And that was just an overreaction from week two. But really, it'll just be how he reacts to everything if his offensive line does hold up. Because if his offensive line doesn't hold up and he has a good outing, then you're instantly right back on. But if offensive line continues to not perform, then I mean, if they do perform and he just doesn't do anything with that,
then there's question marks.
Then that's the point. That's the point where I'll be questioning.
I'm with you on that 100%.
Yeah. And we'll see if he can get anything going with Deebo Samuel, Jalen Hurd, any of these rookie guys who look to be making more of an impact at all. Dante Pettis, who's just been a no-show, has all the talent there, but in training camp hasn't had the best reports on him. So there's a lot to look for in this preseason game. I'm actually looking forward to it, and plus you get to see Patrick Mahomes play, and that's terrifying. It's terrifying to watch because he's so damn good.
Yeah, we'll see what happens tonight. We'll see how many players actually get to play tonight or tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Coming up, Rod Woodson, 8 o'clock, Joe Theismann, 8:30, and Michael Lombardi, 9:05. Joe Lundibs next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.